She's asking me to talk to her now.
A me?
You. She wants me to get an award. Last year it was Ed Emmett got the award.
Oh, yeah. But him, that's like it. Okay. Well, let's.
She'll be here today, and, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's go ahead and get the meeting going. It's fine, isn't it? Charlie.
Hey, Sarah.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you
doing? Great. When Lori does her presentation, we'll need to do a table amendment.
I'll take this one.
The RCA. Okay. So I will give you a draft.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. Can everybody please take your seats?
Well, full time jobs.
Okay.
Hey,
Alan.
Hey, man, what's up, Charlie? How you doing, buddy?
Real quick, Jake, sure.
All right. Okay, I'm going to officially call the Port Commission of the... welcome and thank you for being here. Let's just start out with a couple of bit of housekeeping for future meetings. Oh, and first of all, I do want to welcome Commissioner Clyde Fitzgerald via Zoom. So welcome, Commissioner. Glad to have you with us. Due to schedules, complicated schedules, we will not have a June Port Commission meeting. We've added an August Port Commission meeting to the schedule on August 25th, and we'll still have our regular schedule meeting in July. I think this had something to do also with the World Cup and our location of our building, given the uncertainty about how big the event's going to be. I think they're probably big and great for Houston, but probably complicated for all of us to get here during that period. It's graduation season, and we are thrilled that this year we had 100 maritime graduates across five schools. I attended the ceremony with Chevron at the Stephen F. Austin School. It's just amazing seeing these kids graduate from these programs. They get internships with a lot of our partners and jobs with a lot of our partners. We actually hosted one of our graduates at the last Greater Houston Partnership State of the Port. It was just incredible seeing, you know, the value that we're creating and that these kids are getting from their maritime program. So really proud of the students and wish them really well. We're wrapping up this year's community grant cycle and have received many impactful project and organizational submissions this year. This year's community grant awardees will now be announced in July, since we're not having a meeting in the in June. We'll also continue to celebrate the Anchored in Action report that was officially published last month. And in June, I think it's June 10th, we're hosting an event to launch with our industry partners and our elected officials. I'm really excited about the report provides the port and industry with insights directly from the 14 neighborhoods around the ship channel about what they need most in their communities so we can all make effective strategic investments. Hopefully we'll leverage capital and be able to get more capital and more strategic projects. And that's really the intent ultimately. Earlier this year, I was here for a meeting with Senator John Curtis from Utah, who is the chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Chemicals Safety, Waste Management, Environmental Justice, and Regulatory Oversight of the Environment and Public Works. This meeting went really well, and the team, and industry partners did a great job communicating the importance of our port complex. Among other topics, we emphasized the need for streamlining permitting to unlock increased investments in infrastructure and capital projects. We heard from one Houston Ship Channel company that they estimate a $7 million per month economic harm to their facility due to the delays caused by permitting issues. And it's really about being able to do the work that needs to be done so we can have maximum efficiency of the channel. The permitting issue had to do with silting at their docks. And so they couldn't load the ships with as much cargo as they otherwise would because of the silting issue. And they couldn't get the silt out because they couldn't get a permit to get that done. So bottom line is these permit issues are really a major issue, for us at the port. And infrastructure generally. I know there's been several other advocacy meetings over the past couple of weeks. Update us on those. I want to thank our partners who joined us and ensured that these elected officials understood the importance of our port region. Attending were the Greater Houston Partnership, the Greater Houston Port Bureau, Economic Alliance, Gulf Coast Production District, Port of Texas City, the Port of Galveston, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Houston Pilots, Kirby Corporation, Energy Transfer, Enterprise Products, ExxonMobil, Baytown, Pemex, Vopak North America, International Terminals Company, Marathon Petroleum, Buffalo Marine Services, and Salt Tankers. So clearly a massive, industry support for what we're doing here. This is a team effort. We need the team to put the kind of, muscle behind getting our government to do the things that support us here. Lastly, tomorrow is National Maritime Day, celebrating our maritime industry. This day highlights merchant marines and the role in marine transport systems in the global commerce. On behalf of the Port Commission, I want to recognize the great work and contributions of the seafarers and all they do and all of those that keep our port moving and thriving. Obviously, they're one part of the team, but it is Maritime Day, so we're going to focus on those folks. We know we have a broad team that helps support Port Houston, and we appreciate everyone, but we're going to focus on the seafarers today. So thank you. Commissioners, any words of wisdom, or you want to put anything on the table?
Happy early Memorial Day.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. All right. The next item is the approval of the minutes. So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Charlie, you're up. Staff reports.
Thank you, Chairman. As Chairman mentioned, as part of our role as the major advocate for the entire port region, we've had several meetings with many federal legislative leaders. As a further example of what the chairman talked about, we also met with our entire team, with that's internal of the port and external of all of our industry partners, Senator Shelley Capito in April. She is the chair of the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. She also serves with Senator Cruz on his committee for Commerce, Science, and Transportation, and is also on the Senate Appropriations Committee. In addition to that, we met with Chairman Chuck Fleischman, who is the chair of the House Energy and Water Subcommittee of Appropriate. His vice chair, Michael Cloud, that is from the Corpus region. And then two of our local congressmen, Randy Weber and Brian Babin, participated, talking about these very important issues. In addition to the permitting and the main topics that the chairman discussed, the meeting also included the continued need to invest in the Houston Ship Channel, our waterways, as well as the roadways. It also included investment in the Coastal Texas Project to make sure we have the right insurance to protect the region from storms, much discussion about the critical importance of the Texas cargoes to the world and the American economy. As a last point, we also had some significant conversation about helping to get the U.S. Coast Guard vessel traffic service systems modernized. That's kind of like the air traffic control, important component, and that program needs a bit of funding for the Coast Guard to maintain that. Now, each of these meetings went very well. I think as a team, we did a very good job in emphasizing the value proposition, our commitment of doing things right way, And by the way, when the chairman mentioned the permitting company or the facility being impacted, $7 million a month for the environmental testing of all that material has never failed. It's still being tested. It will be testing. We're not trying to shortchange doing it right. We're trying to have it done more efficiently and effectiveness because they've always issued the permits. It's just been with lots of delay in the outcome. So we have a serious motive of doing it the right way is generally what I'm trying to say. Now some fascinating news. Vessel traffic along the Houston Ship Channel is incredibly strong this year and has been for the last several months. In April, we had 754 vessel visits in the port, which is 6% more than last April. But we're seeing this volume increase every single month. It's really caused by growing global demand for American products. And they're at their highest levels in a very long time. And our vessel activity is at the highest level since 2019. But it's much more cargo. The vessels are much larger, due in a very large part to our completion of Project 11. So we have more vessels than we've had, putting a lot of stress in the system and the pilots, the tugboat systems, the support, and they're all being bigger. And that's just the economy of scale. We've all been looking for to do it better. In terms of tonnage, the most recent data available from the federal government shows the entire port complex, import tonnage was slightly down, but export tonnage is up 19% this year. Crude oil, refined products, petroleum gases are driving a lot of this growth. We still have modest growth in the containers. Ryan will talk about that more and Chris in their presentations. But exports of petroleum gases are up 33%, and we remain the number one port in the world for gases like butane, propane, and ethane, a huge amount which is going to Europe right now. And again, my point on this is the vessel count's going up, but the vessels are much larger due in part to the completion foundation we've provided to the system. In terms of current volumes at the public terminals, we did see a 9% dip in container TEU in April 25. This was not expected given the market volatility that we're dealing with. And I'm pleased to say we're also seeing an extremely good recovery in May with our container volumes. We're just seeing dips as the curve goes up. Total tonnage at the public terminals is still up 3% year to date. And as I mentioned, Ryan and both in Chris, ops and finance, will do a little more detail in their reports today. So I want to use my remaining time highlighting a couple of our port firefighters. For nearly 100 years, the fire departments across the United States have It's a premier event in the world, and it has over 38,000 attendees of firemen in the nation. We've been sending our teams there for their learning for 15 years. For the last 5 years, and by the way, the event has classes on leadership development and training, working to adapt to the changing technologies, many important factors. But for the last 5 years, we sponsored a co-ed team for a challenge that occurred. So at this event, they have all this stuff, and then the firefighters have some fun. They have this massive competition called Firefighters Challenge. And you might recall last year, we received second in the nation in the Firefighters Challenge. So for our fifth year, we do a competitive process within our team to get our best. This year, we again selected Gordon Penland and Chantel Lund. Gordon is a engine operator. He's been with us 4 years, 6 months. And Chantel is one of our captains. She's been with us 5 years and 10 months. Now, this team ran the race. It's called a tandem. They do each do part. And by the way, in full fire gear, pulling hoses and stuff. This is not something I would be capable of doing as an example. And by the way, they placed first in the nation out of 38,000. It's Alan, don't go wrestle that team down there. Even you might lose. But it's great knowing that we truly have the best of the best on our team. And did have them last year. This year they're off sick. They start early in the morning, so they're probably sleeping. But we're going to do some other things for them. It's a pretty damn cool thing. First in the nation. Out of all firemen. So very proud of that, sir. That should be. Concludes my remarks.
Great. Commissioners, any questions for Charlie? Okay. All right. Let's go to then appearances. So we have Matt.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Matt Havers. My facility is in Chambers County. I don't represent Chambers County.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I've been called worse. HPP is a, we're an industrial recycling firm that for 20 years has recycled largely industrial waste, non-hazardous materials, and turned them into TxDOT construction products. Over the last 20 years, we've worked with the port, largely through contractors, to recycle upwards of 150,000 tons of, contaminated soils. We wanted to take a moment to highlight a particular project, that HPP is working with Chambers County Commissioner Dagley. 50,000 tons in 2025 generated largely from, container yard 7 and 8 on Port Road. Those soils were diverted from landfills, brought to us, recycled, and then went directly into roadbed, that for a road project, the east to west 4 corridor that's scheduled to begin, construction in June. So, it's just a great example. You know, Commissioner Campo, you mentioned, Chairman Campo, you mentioned teamwork, and sometimes getting industry and government to work together can be a challenge, but this is an example of where it just teamed up perfectly. So, recognizing the port, elected to recycle 55,000 tons of soils, that are going into a road in Chambers County, that'll directly impact the local folks there is a big deal. And what we'd like to do is just present a little sustainability award. This is just an annual contribution to sustainability presented to the Port of Houston. And it says here, recycled to date, 2025, 452.71 tons. So that all goes across the scale down to the last drop of soil. So that is material that stayed out of the landfill and is going directly into roads for the local area. So we're very proud and happy to have the relationship we do, and wanted to take a moment to recognize that.
Great. Thank you. Would you talk a little bit about how you, when you transport the dirt and what you do to make it, you know, to put it into that position so it can be used in roads?
Sure. It's a little bit of a mouthful. I'll make it as quick as I can.
That's okay. I think people will be interested.
We have three facilities, in the Houston area and one out going towards Louisiana. We're the only permitted facility to accept non-hazardous industrial waste. And then turn that into TxDOT construction product. And that's really going to be your fill dirt and then your recycled crushed concrete, which is a recycled alternative to limestone. What we do, it's a blend operation and a mechanized operation. We have yellow iron heavy equipment that blends soils, and then we run it through mechanized trommels to knock out the metals and the hydrocarbons. There's enormous lab testing that goes into that to get it to meet that TxDOT spec. On the front end, we're really kind of governed by the TCEQ to make sure it's non-hazardous waste coming from Exxon or the port or Shell. And then on the back end, the product is governed by TxDOT. So we have to report to TxDOT, the geotech, and the environmental data to make sure it meets that spec. So it's a combination of yellow iron blending material and then that yellow iron loading it through mechanized trommels to really get a good blend to make that final product. And then concrete, it's like the Flintstones. We take big rocks, crush them, make them small. It's pretty simple. Been done a long time.
It's probably more expedient and cheaper just to put it in landfill.
No, you know, that's so we don't, you know, recycling is should not be the cheapest thing. We try to be competitive with the landfill.
Landfill's the cheapest and recycling is a little more costly.
It's really about a break even.
Okay.
And logistics matter, you know, all that figures into it. Sometimes it's cheaper, sometimes it's not.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to do what makes the most sense for you. So we're
sometimes
not really
you have to do what's right.
Yeah, we're not really trying to be the cheapest.
Environment.
And yeah, people need to do what they need to do there in that regard. So
got it. Well, anyway. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. Next up, we have Sarah Cinco from Healthy Port Communities Coalition. Sarah, welcome.
Hello, Chairman Campo and distinguished commissioners. My name is Sara Cinco. I'm here representing the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. We appreciate the Port Commission's ongoing work to maintain this vital waterway. I'm a resident of Channelview, so I'm a neighbor. And we understand the importance of the $5 million maintenance dredging agreement being considered today for the Turning Basin terminals. Keeping these berths operational is great for the region, and we support that goal. But as a community member, we're here simply today asking the question that we hope the commission can help us answer, which is, where will the dredge material be placed, and how will that decision protect nearby neighborhoods? We've really raised this question in good faith, informed by geotechnical analysis that have been contracted out by our coalition. We know that dredge material placement areas are not just a minor logistical detail, but rather life safety is paramount and cannot be traded off for other project benefits. We are particularly concerned about the placement of this dredge material, specifically because we have seen that there have been slope failures recently in 2017 and in 2025 that may have been caused by the Army Corps' use of a method called upstream construction that raises the placement area berms, but also creates significant risk for the communities and homes that are living adjacent to these placement sites. So we're not necessarily asking the commission to slow down on this project. That's not what we're doing today, but we're just simply asking for transparency and an opportunity to really understand the plan as people who advocate for the health and well-being of the residents and the homes that live near the Port of Houston and near these placement sites. So if we could have some specific requests, we would love to know the or if you guys could disclose the proposed dredge material placement locations for this maintenance project, that'd be really helpful before the disposal activities begin, so the community is well informed. We also understand that you have requirements to meet, including hydrologic and drainage review, so that we make sure that these placement sites don't directly run off into the residential areas, whether that's through stormwater management or such. And we also request that, you know, there's verification of dam safety requirements that can be applied to the placement areas, depending on the regulatory size of the thresholds. And just again, like this, in a forum like this, we would appreciate a brief public update on disposal site selection prior to the work commencing, just for the continued awareness of the community. Just to close off my comments, we believe that Port Houston and our community share the same goal, which is a safe, efficient, and environmentally responsible channel. And with a little bit more information and engagement, we're confident that this project can meet that standard. We just look forward to learning more about these plans. Thank you so much for your time today and the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Juliana Hernandez, also I believe Healthy Port Communities Coalition.
Good morning, Port Commission. My name is Juliana Hernandez, and I'm here representing both Air Alliance Houston and the Healthy Ports Communities Coalitions. As community advocates, we're encouraged to see the continued investment in the port region, but we also understand that there's also a need for continued investment in their environmental health and well-being. The Anchored in Action report highlights bold and promising ideas, but also reflects long-standing historical underinvestment and unmet need in the port region. These are sentiments that ship channel communities have experienced and advocated for decades. We appreciate that this process has created an avenue for residents and community organizations to communicate directly about priorities outside of trade and commerce and priorities that just as importantly impact their overall well-being. We hope that this initiative extends beyond just this report and becomes a core pillar of the Port of Houston Authority's priorities moving forward. As someone who services port communities and has friends and families in the port region, I believe that the report accurately represented the needs and went adequately far enough to service to find the community needs, and especially in the times that we're in right now, where I think we can agree a lot of people are struggling. And so I just wanted to applaud this step in the right direction and say that I'm eager to see the implementation of this plan and a long-term commitment to centering community voices in the future and in future decision-making processes. I also wanted to recall that Councilmember Mario Castillo said in the last Port Commission that although the port is one of the main drivers of economic growth in the region, which we're grateful for, beyond this role, it also has a responsibility to be a good neighbor to the communities and families that have long endured the freight movement and the other impacts that port activities have on their surrounding communities. And so I wanted to wrap up by saying that intentional and serious efforts like this one are great indicators of progress. And again, we're hopeful that this is the beginning of a deeper partnership between the port and the communities that call this region home. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Sarah Howell, president of the Houston Maritime Museum. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Sarah Howell. This is Brian Cosgrove. We have a team here from Houston Maritime Center and Museum. Just want to say a few words about National Maritime Day. National Maritime Day reminds us that America's strength has always been tied to its waters. From our ports and ship channels to the open seas, generations of mariners, merchant mariners, military personnel, shipbuilders, longshore workers, and waterfront communities have carried the weight of commerce, national security, and freedom upon their shoulders. Here in Houston, we understand that legacy deeply. Buffalo Bayou and the Houston Ship Channel transformed this city into one of the world's great maritime centers. The Port of Houston stands today not only as an engine of economic opportunity, but also as a symbol of resilience, international connection, and service to our nation. Tomorrow, Friday, May 22nd, we especially honor the brave men and women who served our country at sea, both in times of war and peace. We remember the courage of those who crossed dangerous waters, delivered critical supplies, protected our shores, and answered the call of duty far from home. Their commitment helped preserve the freedoms and prosperities we enjoy today. At Houston Maritime Center and Museum, we are proud to preserve and share these stories so that future generations understand the profound role that maritime service of all kinds has played in shaping Houston, Texas, and our country. To all who have served and to those who continue to serve on our waters every day, we offer our deepest gratitude and respect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Oh, awesome.
Free Family Day, June 6th, right here outside. Games, fire trucks, toys, balloons, face painting, free to the public. Come on down.
Face painting with a maritime theme.
Coast Guard, yes. We're doing water, wildlife, and the environment. So we have critters who are coming. It's just going to be wonderful. Texas A&M Galveston, NOAA, all the good people are going to be there. So you guys should come too.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, I think that is it for public comment. Okay, good. All right, let's move on to our agenda. We have on executive, we don't have any items today. External affairs, we do have. Christine, welcome.
Hello, good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. The External Affairs Division has two RCAs on the agenda today. Item G1 is to approve contracts with two photography and videography vendors. These vendors really act as extensions of our team, helping us capture and visually communicate our port and our activities through photos and videos like what you see on the screen right now. They help us show everything from events and community outreach to projects and infrastructure growth at our terminals. Item G2 is related to our media buyer, Love Advertising. They have been our media buyer for several years now, and they secure us great rates and placement on media, both in the local market and through trade publications, for example. The RCA is requesting to ratify the exercise of the optional year for media buy services at $525,000 and also to add $210,000 for the year for a total amount not to exceed $735,000 for the year. We plan to increase our media presence through the end of this year, and the additional dollars will be used to help us build market share and the brand overall. And with that, I'm seeking approval on items G1 and G2.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Channel Infrastructure. Lori, welcome.
Good morning, Chairman Campo and Corps Commissioners. First off, I want to start with a fun update. Yes, we have an ongoing international conference for coastal engineers ongoing in the Galveston Convention Center. I've been there all week and returning this afternoon. But it's a gathering of approximately 1,000 global researchers and coastal engineering consultants to share innovations in wave modeling, coastal risk reduction, and storm surge management. I've been on the local organizing committee for, seems like 2 years now, trying to get this conference off the ground with about five other engineers, and it's been successful so far. But Port Houston, you can see here in this photo, hosted a Houston Ship Channel P11 update, kind of other future expansion projects, to about 10% of the audience, about 100 conference attendees on the Sam Houston with technical conversations. And it was really well received and really appreciated by everybody that attended. But thank you to External Relations, community, the entire crew of the Sam Houston really made it a successful event. So I just want to start on a high note. Continuing on a high note, Project 11 still ongoing, port-led. We still have two active contracts with Weeks Marine and Cal Marine. We're in the final phases of completing the beneficial use so M11. We have another round of seeding, grassing, basically, for Three Bird Island that was scheduled for early May but postponed to the end of this month due to weather. And M11 is anticipated to be complete in July, August, or sometime this summer, with final acceptance with the grassing again in August or September. So we're largely on track and schedule for those, but the grassing has been kind of a hindrance just to get those over the final approval with the Army Corps. For Army Corps-led projects, they have currently on one ongoing contract with McCarthy Building Companies for Barber's Cut, and we have two dredge material placement sites, Boy 8 and East New Clinton, for Segment 4 are in various stages of contracting. But a full schedule alignment from the Corps is expected to be provided by the end of July. So, this month, we have six agenda items, H1 through H6. I'd like to focus just on three of them. H1 is a request to authorize a memorandum agreement with the Army Corps for the dredging of berths in vicinity of Turning Basin, Manchester, Woodhouse, and Sims Bayou for an amount not to exceed $5 million. This is not Project 11 related. It's ongoing maintenance. So this would allow the Corps to perform maintenance dredging, inclusive any estimated shoaling and debris during their scheduled maintenance contract. These areas were previously dredged in late 23 and 24. Item H4 is a request to approve the transfer of marine construction permit from Shell Oil Company to Deer Park Refining. And at the end of this, I'll ask for a table amendment to correct the name of the transfer to Shell Oil Company. And then item H6 is a license amendment to request an existing 18-inch 60-foot deep pipeline to a new same size pipeline, 18-inch, but 150 feet deep. This has been long planned in their infrastructure and will serve to potential foolproof any potential expansions in the future as it complies with the Army Corps policy for pipelines under deep draft channels. There are no questions. I respectfully ask for an amendment of item H4.
I move to amend item H4 on the agenda by striking the name Shell Oil Chemical and replacing it with the name Shell Oil Company.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the rest of the agenda, is there a motion?
Motion.
Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
All right. Aye.
Thank you.
Much thank passed. You.
Thank you, Lori. I'm glad we got that chemical and company right. Okay. Commercial.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Stephanie Sides-Sabera presenting on behalf of the Commercial Division and John Mosley in real estate. John is traveling for work in New York this week. Just a quick industrial real estate update. We're pleased to report that Houston's industrial real estate market remains resilient. We're seeing continued demand for port proximate logistics and distribution space. Even as new supply has begun to moderate leasing, velocity across the region is high. Overall fundamentals remain stable with strong long-term positioning supported by population growth, trade activity, and ongoing infrastructure investment. And if there are no questions on that, I will move on to our single agenda item for May. We have only one item this month. I-1 is for a 5-year renewal for an existing tenant out at Rosa Allen. And if there are no other questions, then I am seeking your approval for Commercial Division I-1.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, on finance, we don't have any items, but I understand Chris is going to give us. Chris, go ahead.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I'm Christopher Edwards, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. Finance has no items before the Commission this month, but I will provide a brief update on April 2026 financial results. Through April, operating revenues totaled $233 million, 1% favorable to prior year and 4% below plan. Cash generation, while lagging both prior year and plan, remains consistent with historical trends. April throughput was down 9% versus 2025 and 12% below plan, with year-to-date volumes tracking slightly under the 2026 plan. Favorable performance in other revenue categories partially did offset that decline in throughput. Good news, early indicators and early indications detail a slight recovery in May 2026 from the April 2026 shortfall. Ryan will provide additional detail in his operating report. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, let's move then to infrastructure.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Juwan Cole, Managing Director of Port Infrastructure. Today, we're presenting three RCA items totaling approximately $1,800,000, and we will also be requesting adoption of a resolution authorizing a local on-system agreement with TxDOT. Before covering those items, I would like to briefly highlight a recent engagement supporting Port Houston's industry and community partnerships. I recently had the opportunity to co-host a boat tour of Port Houston's Turning Basin Terminal aboard the MV Sam Houston for the Greater Houston Partnership's Houston Energy Leadership Cohort alongside Candace Arminoff, our Chief Strategy Officer. The tour provided emerging energy leaders with a firsthand look at Port Houston's role in driving regional economic growth, global trade, and the evolving energy supply chain. The engagement showcased the infrastructure and operations that support this nation's booming energy economy. Additionally, I would also like to recognize and thank Renee Jarvis. Renee is our administrative supervisor for the PCM division, and she has served that department for nearly 30 years. And today we would like to thank her for her service as her retirement is upcoming on June 4th. Renee, I just want you to know that you're truly appreciated and will be dearly missed. Throughout her career, Renee has been a trusted teammate, a steady presence within the organization, and a mentor to many across the division. Her professionalism, institutional knowledge, and willingness to support and develop others have made a lasting impact on both our team and our culture. On behalf of the infrastructure team and Port Houston, thank you, Renee, for your years of service, and we wish you all the best in retirement. Okay, now I will highlight items K1, K2, and K4. The first item, K1, requests approval of staff's ranking of vendors and award of a construction contract to Saris Industrial Group for the demolition of the ship-to-shore cranes 4, 9, and 10 at Barber's Cut Terminal. This work is a part of a broader program to rehabilitate wharves 4 and 5, 5 and 6, in preparation for future installation of upgraded ship-to-shore cranes to increase our capacity. Item K2 requests approval of an amendment to a professional services contract with Grist Engineering PLLC for additional services associated with Port Authority-wide civil engineering on-call services. These services include support of annual pavement rehabilitation program, supplemental civil construction phase services, development of strategic laydown and storage sites, and also preliminary sanitary sewer remediation evaluations at Barber's Cut Terminal. I would also like to note that Grist Engineering is a small minority women-owned business and also a graduate of Port Houston's Opportunity U program. Finally, item K4 requests adoption of a resolution authorizing an interlocal agreement for local on-system improvement project with the state of Texas acting through the Texas Department of Transportation. This is for proposed roadway improvements along Red Bluff Road between State Highway 146, northbound frontage road, and the Port Authority of property. This agreement is necessary for Port Houston to complete construction of the Bayport Southern Access Road project within TxDOT right-of-way, and this will also support improved access, mobility, and long-term infrastructure connectivity in the area. And with that, I can address any questions. Otherwise, I'm asking for approval of items K1 through 4 and also the adoption of the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Question is? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we have Paulo Soares. Maintenance. Thing working?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay, good.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Before we focus on the four agenda items we have before you this morning, I'd like just to touch on a couple of highlights. First one, on April 30th, we successfully commissioned the last of the four wharf cranes that were recently delivered to Barber Scott. So bringing to 16 the number of total STS cranes that are operating in that facility. So kudos to ops, maintenance, safety, and construction management and whatnot. So all guys did a great job making sure the cranes are successfully commissioned. And next one is the you have a picture right there of an empty parking lot. That's the future site of our Bayport Maintenance Annex. This was to be occupied by ILA workers, and that's where they park their cars. So their vehicles were transferred to the East End parking lot in CY1 South. And this about 2.5 acres is going to be the site for our maintenance building annex. The contract was awarded in January, and construction should commence soon. So. Now on to our agenda items. I'd like to focus on item L1, the purchase of new and repair electronic components for wharf cranes and RTG cranes. The existing or the current three-year contract was awarded in October 2023, so we still have a few months left on it, but the balance is about 20%, and we need to renew this contract. So we support the purchase of printed circuit boards, controllers, drives, and encoders. If there are no questions, I'd like to present items L1 through L4 for your review and approval.
That's right.
Questions? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have operations, and we're going to get highlights since we don't have any items. Thank you, Ryan.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Like you mentioned, nothing on the agenda for operations today, but wanted to provide a few updates for the public terminals and drill down a little bit further into Charlie's earlier remarks. April presented a decline or normalization in volume after a strong March and first quarter. And April was a slow month for tonnage in nearly every category. But despite the decline, total tonnage remains up 3%, as Charlie mentioned, as we've handled over 18.5 million tons through April. The good news is, further to Charlie's point, May is already showing improved performance in most of those categories. Tonnage at our multipurpose facilities remains up for the year 13%, but declines 6% for the month versus March. Dry bulk fell 13% compared to March, but remains up over 40% for the year. The steel decline continued as we expected, dropping another percent, now down 28% year to date. The good news here is May is forecasted to be the largest month for steel volumes since last July. We did see a slight increase of about 6% in overall break bulk tonnage compared to March, now up 20%. But this appears to be driven more by timing than significant cargo increases. Liquid bulk declined 3% versus March, but remains up 20% year-to-date, with the import trade driving the growth. For containers, total TEU through April is down 1%, the first decline reported since Q1 of last year. I often tell the team, 1 month doesn't make a trend, And the good news again in May is if you look at our volumes through yesterday, total TEU is actually up 1% with imports driving that growth once again. Combined volumes through April at the container terminals, Bayport and Barber's Cup resulted in a decrease in loaded units of nearly 7% versus last April. But the good news is the month remained on average with preceding three quarters, resulting in loads being essentially flat through the end of last month. A little bit more good news to share. We have yet to be impacted by any blank sailings. That's when a service that is normally on a weekly interval skips a week. We've not yet seen any of those that we saw in 2025 and in previous downturns. And the volume decline is also spread across all trade lanes, with all indications that we can tell at this point, we're looking at a quicker bounce back for Houston. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have no items on people or PSEO, strategy, technology. I think we're going to have Ron is talking about technology. There you go.
Hey, welcome. Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. For those who don't know me, my name is Ron Farrow, and I'm the Director of the IT Infrastructure Department. Technology has two items for your consideration today. The first item is to request approval for an agreement with CompuCycle for an asset recycling and disposal service. This agreement provides secure disposal of certified destruction of retired IT equipment, helping support Port Operations' ongoing modernization efforts and reduce the cybersecurity risks associated with older devices that may have IT data on them. The second item is to approve a blanket PO with Electrolink for fiber and cable repairs. This agreement supports the maintenance and repair of critical communications infrastructure throughout the terminals and operational areas, helping ensure reliable network connectivity and daily port operations. Both of these items support the IT Master Plan from 2024 to 2028 of infrastructure operational initiatives. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I request approval for these two items.
So moved. Second. Okay, any questions, comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. Okay, great.
Thank you.
We're going to an executive session now.
Parker. See how fast, Parker.
See how fast.
Real quick, Parker, before you say that, Renee, you're going to get your typical retirement. Buck. Yours is also a bat phone, so please answer it when we ring. We'll try.
There you go.
Thank you for your service, Renee.
Sky, right?
All right. It is 10:03 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas, will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding the Houston Ship Channel Expansion Channel Improvement Project and certain Port Commission meeting governance matters, and deliberate regarding real estate, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberation regarding the employment of the chief executive officer, the engagement of talent advisory firms for executive support and other related matters, and other and security-related matters. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Screens.
I don't know how you do that.